This is the StoryCorps podcast.
I see a group of boys walking towards me, and I knew that something was going to happen.
That's Darnell Moore. When he was a teenager in Camden, New Jersey in the late 80s, he didn't know he was gay, but he did know he was an outcast. Darnell was a mild-mannered A student in a city where kids were expected to be tough. Here, he tells his longtime friend Brian Epps about growing up in his neighborhood and about an incident that shaped his youth.
At 13, I was a nerd. I took such great pride in wearing dress pants and button-up shirts, unfortunate white socks, like I was a preacher. And my grandmother would send us to the store, and I hated going to the store because I know that somewhere between my grandmom's house and the store would be somebody wanting to pick on me for some reason. So at the time, I was coming from the store. It was broad daylight, and I see a group of boys walking towards me, and I knew that something was going to happen. As they approached me, they called me names, faggot, sissy, and they had a milk carton. I didn't know what it was filled with, but it spilled a bit, and it was gasoline. My next-door neighbor was one of the young men, and he emptied the gasoline on me. I recall him attempting to light a match, and it just wouldn't light. That happened about 3 times. And by the time he tried to light the match again, my aunt had came outside. I just remember my aunt dragging me to the local hospital with gasoline in my eyes. And I smelled like that for like 24 hours. I was never really angry. I just was embarrassed. You know, I was picked on in front of teachers, in front of adults on streets. So I was used to it. And I don't know why it took me into adulthood to actually get in my head that that was literally somebody trying to end my life.
Do you know where they are now?
I don't. Actually, I tried to search for the one neighbor in particular who poured the gasoline on me. And it's so funny, you know, in recalling this story, even while the other guys are punching me, I was only focused on him because I think I've always wanted his friendship. I just never imagined that a kid who knows your name, who lives in the same neighborhood with you, would want to do something like that. I wish I could have asked, why would you want to light me on fire? What did I do to make him want to do that?
Darnell Moore, talking to his childhood friend Brian Epps in New York City. Next, a story from Alabama. Sandra Souter and Marcia Sutton met in a small town outside of Huntsville. Over time, they fell in love, but when they made their relationship public, their worlds turned upside down. They sat down together to talk about what happened next.
I was the preacher's wife. We had been in the same little church for 20 years. I had watched people marry, people die, people give birth. And when we realized we were going to divorce, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was such a relief because I really wanted to be with you. The church publicly withdrew fellowship from me, and you went to church with me that day. Do you remember that?
Oh, my goodness. They read a letter and turned you over to the devil is part of the wording in the letter.
Yes.
Your children were actually there and watched these people that you had loved go up and sign this letter along with their father. I mean, it was like the Salem witch hunt.
I made my choices, but I think that I felt like over time, my daughters would understand me.
You had a very, very close relationship with all of your girls.
I did go by to see one of my older daughters because she's pregnant and just say hello and I love you. And her husband called the police. I remember the police officer, he apologized and said, "Ma'am, I'm very sorry for your pain, but you'll have to leave." They think what they're doing is right. If I didn't believe that they thought it was the right thing, I'm sure I would lose my mind. Do you remember you used to say, when we get old, you'd help me walk along, because I'm a little older than you, and I have a bad back.
Yeah.
And we're going to build that house on a bluff, and if children and grandchildren want to come be a part of that, God, they're welcome.
They would be so loved. It would just be great.
It makes it hard for us to have the storybook ending that we want, but I'm still not sorry that I found you. I wouldn't change it.
I agree.
Sandra Souter and Marcia Sutton in Huntsville, Alabama. Both stories you just heard were recorded as part of Out Loud, our new initiative to record the voices of the LGBTQ community. To hear more from Out Loud or to record an interview, go to our website, storycorps.org. Also, mark your calendars. Our latest book, Ties That Bind, will be available in paperback on September 30th. Pre-order your copy today at storycorps.org/books. For the podcast, I'm Nadia Raymond. Thanks for listening.
All StoryCorps interviews are archived at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, and you can hear StoryCorps each Friday on NPR's Morning Edition. Major support for StoryCorps comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and through donations from listeners like you. Help keep us going. Become a StoryCorps member today. Find out how and learn about member benefits at StoryCorps.org.